And thank you for that tonight. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. I'm going to take time and look in God's Word tonight and see what He has for us here in Hebrews chapter 13, just one verse tonight. And I know we had the Awana Awards night. It's a little bit longer night than normal, and some of you might be wondering when we're going to get out of here, and maybe you're paying attention to your clock, but I promise that if you'll listen fast, I'll do my best. I'm reminded of some advice that Brother Ron Midgley gave me once. Actually, he gave it to me a couple different times. I guess there was a preacher that he knew that was famous for a sermon in which he would tell the story of the Titanic and kind of draw it out and tell it and would sink the ship in it. And I guess he became known for that sermon, and I guess his wife would tell him when she knew he was going to preach the sermon to sink it quick. And so when Brother Ron would find out that I'm preaching a message one night, he'd tell me, "All right, amen, brother, sink it quick." And that was his words of encouragement to me. And so I'll try to sink it quick tonight, and we'll look into God's Word and get right to it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7. Hebrews 13, verse number 7. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your house, Lord, both this morning and tonight, to sit and to open your word and to have the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much for that opportunity. And God, I pray tonight, just thank you for the blessings we've already received and just the encouragement from the young people to see them excited about memorizing your word and, Lord, receiving the awards for what they've done. And Father, I pray that you would just bless now in this time as we open the word, receive what you have for us. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts and, Lord, bind the devil from distracting us. And Lord, I pray that our minds and our focus would solely be upon you and the word of God tonight. And God, I pray that you would just take me and use me as an instrument in your hand. And help me, Father, to just be used by you tonight. And Lord, I pray that your word would be seen and heard. And I pray it would make the difference in our lives and that you would bless us tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The book of Hebrews is believed and accepted by most to be written by the Apostle Paul, although it's never really identified there. You can certainly know by studying it and reading it. It's definitely Paul's writing style. So we believe that to be Paul here writing the book of Hebrews. And as we come to the conclusion in chapter number 13, we see him mentioning those that have the rule over you. He mentions it here in verse number 7, again in verse number 17, and then once more in verse number 24, referring to them that have the rule over you, those that are watching over you, those that are instructing you, those that have leadership positions over your life. And he mentions them here in this passage that we've read, and then again a couple other times. And so verse number 17 is the one you might be familiar with when it says to obey them that have the rule over you. It was something that as a youth pastor I would go to from time to time. I've used it on the bus route with the kids on there to help them understand the necessity to obey and the fact that these people are watching for your souls. They have your best interest in mind. They're going to give an account. They're going to answer for their leadership in your lives. And it's to your profit. It's to your benefit to obey them because they are going to do it with joy and not with grief based upon that. And so that's one of the things we see there in verse number 17. And then in verse number 24, he says to salute them that have the rule over you. And the word salute there, the meaning behind that is to embrace, to accept, to embrace those that have been put in your life as a leader. Accept that and salute them and receive them and honor that position of ruling in your life. And so as we see here, the first mention tonight is here in verse number 7, and he asked them to remember them that have the rule over you. Now, this would be speaking more of those in the past tense, kind of asking them to reflect upon their life and look back those that have had those positions of leadership, those positions of influence in their lives, and to remember them that have the rule over you. That's what he's inviting these recipients to do. He wants them to recollect and to be mindful of these rulers, and for some specific reasons is what he talks about. And so he's asking them to remember them which have the rule over you. And we can look at this tonight, and certainly in verse number 17 helps especially those in the underneath the leadership. But I believe that we find a challenge here in verse number 7 for those in a position of leadership, for those in a position of having the rule over someone. And we'll get to that in just a second. But the idea there is to remember them that have the rule over you. Now, as we sit here tonight, I think we can all look back and think back to our schooling days when we were in school, and we certainly can remember teachers that we had, all right? You can sit and you can think about, as you're sitting here tonight, you can remember teachers that you had that were great teachers, and you remember those teachers that you had that were not so great teachers. And you probably have trouble remembering the ones that fell somewhere in between because it just wasn't like a huge impact on you. They weren't great, they weren't bad, they were just meh. And so for that reason, they don't leave much of an impact on you. But that's really what it is. And I think in my school days, I can think of a three-year stretch where I can remember this in particular in elementary. Now, when I was in elementary, I was a part of the gifted class. Now, they tell me that I was gifted because I was smart. And so I guess that's what it meant. I know it involved a short bus, but I was a part of that gifted class. The gifted class, because I was smart. So in third and fourth grade, I had the same teacher. My teacher in third and fourth grade was Mrs. Topliff right over here at Lowell Elementary School. I had her for both third and fourth grade as a part of this gifted class, and she was a great teacher. She was awesome. I really enjoyed her. She was just like a sweet old lady. She was, it was like having your grandma as your teacher. It was so great. And she did a lot. She introduced us to this thing called Book It, where you could read and earn personal pan pizzas. And that was life-changing as a third and a fourth grader, and understand that I can get paid to do schoolwork. I'll do that, no problem at all. And so we would do things like that. We would reenact the different events in history. I remember doing that in third and fourth grade. I remember if we got our work done that we could be rewarded with some special time on the computer to play some groundbreaking games such as the Oregon Trail. And where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? We still don't know where she is, but I remember those games. You had to make sure you brought your own floppy disk if you wanted to save your progress, because that was very important. I remember that was awesome. I loved Mrs. Topliff, and she made an impact on my life. I remember her, and definitely my favorite elementary school teacher. So after third and fourth grade came fifth grade, my last year of elementary, and because I was a part of that gifted class, I rode the short bus, not to Lowell, which was right by my house. I rode it all the way over to 10th Street to Moorhead Elementary School. And I was a part of the fifth grade gifted class there, and my teacher was Miss LaDuca, all right? And I'll tell you what, everything that Mrs. Topliff was, Miss LaDuca was not. And she was by far the worst teacher I ever had. She was so mean, and she wouldn't know what fun was if it smacked her in the face. She was not fun at all, okay? It was miserable. I was like, it couldn't be, the contrast between the two couldn't be sharper. That's what it was. And so looking back and thinking about that, these are two teachers in my life that I can remember. And they had an impact on my life, and one for a good reason and one for a not so good reason. But these teachers, above all others, were memorable. I remember them. Now, Paul is encouraging the listener here to remember those who made an impact on their lives in a position of leadership. To remember them that had the rule over you. Looking back, Paul is asking them to look back on your teachers or those martyrs or those pastors or whoever's been in this short time of church history that's made that impact on your life that maybe have now passed on the scene. He's saying to look back and remember them and think about them. And looking at this as a church member tonight who wants to serve the Lord, or looking at this as a parent who has children, or anyone tonight that is in a position of leadership or in a position of having the rule over someone tonight, I want to challenge you tonight to be memorable. Be memorable. And for the right reasons. Be memorable. Be something that years down the road people can look back on and remember and recount that time and remember the impact and the role that they had, that you had in their lives and had over them. Be memorable in their lives. The lives of your children, the lives of those that you work with in Awana, and the lives of those in the junior church classes, in the nursery, and the lives of those that are part of this church. Pastor says time and time again that every single one of us have a role and have a part and an impact on every life of every child that comes through this church. And so to understand this tonight, I want to challenge you to be memorable. Be memorable. Well, how is it that we can be memorable? We find it here in verse number 7 very simply. He says, remember them that have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. The first way to be memorable as someone in a position of leadership is to speak the word of God. To emphasize the word of God, to keep the word of God as the most important thing. Teach the word of God. The word of God should always in our lives and in the church have preeminence. It is the most important thing. We understand it to be necessary to our own personal faith. Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I mean, this is the foundation of my faith, of everything that I believe, of my relationship with the Lord. It's from the Word of God. It's necessary. I cannot have faith without the Word of God. It should have the preeminence in my own life and in my own faith. But it's also necessary to the church. It's foundational to everything that we believe. We don't believe what we believe because Pastor Ted stands up here and teaches it. We believe what we believe because we find it within the Word of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, first of all, for doctrine. So that's what we believe. That teaches everything in a church that we need to know about God, about how to operate church and how to tell others about Christ and what we believe about salvation and eternal life. All of that is found within God's Word. It's necessary to the church. It's the focus of every service. Yeah, we had Awana Awards tonight, but the focus is God's Word. And that's what's been emphasized and uplifted tonight, and I hope you understand that. It's not entertainment. It's not socializing. The emphasis of every service is the Word of God. But can I tell you tonight, it's necessary to ministry. Every ministry of the church is necessary to ministry. It's central to all we do. It's why we do ministry. It's why we run buses. Listen, we run buses not just to provide transportation. We run buses not because we're offering a babysitting service. We run buses not because we want to pat ourselves on the back and say, look how many people we brought in from the inner city. We run buses not so we can play games with them on the bus or sing songs with them. We run buses not for any other reason than most important is to bring them to the house of God to hear the Word of God. That's what it's about. It's about the Word of God. That's why we run buses. That's why people sit in the nursery. It's not because they want to skip a church service. They want to sit in the nursery and hold someone's child and be there with someone's child so they can be in the service and hear God's word. That's why we do choir. Choir isn't so they'll stand up there or special music so they can be seen or so they can be heard or it's America's Got Talent or anything like that. No, it's about preparing hearts to hear the word of God in a church service. That's why we do ministry. That's why we have junior church and Sunday school. And even what we talked about tonight, the Awana ministry, the why of the Awana ministry is the Word of God. And that's the emphasis is put there, that we want to study it, that we want to teach it to them. We want them to memorize it, to hide God's Word in their heart, that they might not sin against God. It's central to that. It's why we do the Good News Mission. It's not because we've got nothing better to do one Monday night a month. It's not so we can go and give them socks and gloves in the wintertime. It's not so we can deliver them cookies. It's so that we can take them the Word of God. It's central to all we do as a church to ministry is the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to transform lives. No book in human history has the power to change lives like the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow and to the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the Word of God. Can I tell you tonight, can I encourage you tonight to be memorable by emphasizing the Word of God? It's all about the Word of God. Give it the place it deserves in your life. Give it the place it deserves in the ministries you have, in your family. But also give it the preparation it deserves as well. I hope you guys understand this, that if I'm going to emphasize the Word of God, I've got to put time into it. in my family, in my own life personally, and in my Sunday school class. I've got to put the time in it that it deserves if I want to be memorable for that. Listen, Pastor Tid doesn't come here on Saturday night to finish his messages, all right? He doesn't get here on Saturday night and say, okay, what am I going to preach tomorrow? That's not how it happens. The man prepares all week long and puts the time in because the emphasis and the focus of every service is the Word of God. Be memorable by emphasizing the Word of God. The second thing tonight, be memorable, as we read here, it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Whose faith follow. Be memorable tonight by having a faith worth following. Having a faith worth following. We are examples. Whether you like it or not, positive or negative, you're an example. It's something that Paul himself realized. If you guys would read through the scriptures, especially the Pauline epistles, this was something that Paul mentioned repeatedly, this idea of being a follower of me. I think about verses like 1 Corinthians 11:1, be followers of me even as I also am of Christ. Or 2 Thessalonians 3:9, not because we had not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So Paul had said that repeatedly, to follow me, follow my faith, follow me as I follow Christ. Now understand this, this wasn't an ego trip for Paul. This wasn't saying, hey, I'm the best Christian out there, so follow me. No, you have to understand at this time the Word of God was not completed. The example of Christ couldn't just be opened and studied, and there was false prophets arising, and Paul understood that. And so Paul was able to say with confidence, knowing he was walking with the Lord and following Christ, that, hey, there might be some other people out there you're looking to, but I know that you can look to me and follow my example, not so I can be patted on the back, but for God's honor and glory. Now listen, we understand that's not the case today. I'm not asking you to follow me as I follow Christ, because we have the Word of God and we have His example and we have Scripture. But I'm telling you, we ought to have a faith that is worth following. That if someone were to look to and say, you know what, I'm having struggling, I can look to them and watch how they walk with the Lord and how they spend time with God and their relationship with Him, and it can be a faith that is worth following. Paul exhorted Timothy to be an example, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In every ministry, we are an example. Our lives should point others to Christ. It's important that we teach and minister God's word to others. We talked about that in the first point, is to emphasize the word of God. It's one thing to teach it. It's another thing to live it, to practice what we preach, to have that faith that is worth following. So many times, and this will happen in homes, where they'll usher the kids to church and they'll have them there in their place all the time, and they'll put this example on for their kids as far as church is concerned, but then the parents go home and live a completely different life, opposite of what they see in their parents on Sunday, and we wonder why these kids grow up and don't follow the Lord and don't stay in church. Because it's not being exemplified. But one of the challenges to me as a parent, and one of the challenges to me as a staff member or a teacher or a worker, is having a faith worth following. Understanding people are looking, and I ought to be walking with the Lord to give them an example that if they have to, they could follow. Our lives as Christians shouldn't contradict our message as Christians. You know, I could stand up here today, and those that don't know better, and tell you that I'm a good golfer and I can give you some tips, some free lessons and everything like that. But if you've been on me with the been out with me at the golf course, you know that would contradict that message. All right, don't believe me. Ask some people about hole number 2 at Valla Vista, okay? It's a legendary story that involves a broken window, okay? But anyways, I'm not a good golfer. If I stand here and say that, my golf game contradicts that. But listen, if we stand and say that we're Christians and we're followers of Christ and our life contradicts that, then it wastes the message. And so have that faith worth following. Our lives pointing others to Christ. I'm thankful for the examples in this church. And the idea that we are an example should motivate us to have faith worth following. Be memorable by having a faith worth following. And the last thing is this in verse number 7. Remember them which had the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Then the last part is this, considering the end of their conversation. Considering the end of the conversation. Now, what this is talking about and what this is saying is that you take into account the way it ended, how it all went in their lives, in a nutshell, in a capsule there, how it all went, considering the end of their conversation. The encouragement here is this, to be faithful to the end. He says they've taught you the word of God, they've lived it in front of you, and they were faithful to do it until the very end. You want to be memorable? Be faithful to the end. Too many have given up along the way. That's something that's truly heartbreaking. I think about Paul, who's writing this, I believe to be writing this. Paul experienced Demas. If you guys remember that in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 10, he said that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he's departed and he's left. He was gone. And I'm sure that was something that was heartbreaking, that here was Demas, had walked with Paul and served with Paul on that missionary journey, had now turned his back and walked away from it. And I think of that Paul could have been thinking of something like that in 1 Corinthians 9:27, when he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul said, if anything else, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be unfaithful to the end. I want to have that end of my conversation be something that can be considered and have that impact be faithful to the end. Faithfulness will always, always, always leave a lasting impact. You may feel like you can't be a lot of things tonight. You might say, "Well, Brother Aaron, I can't get up and sing. I can't do that. That's not me. I can't. Kids is not really my thing. I can't do that." Whatever the case might be, you might say you can't do this or that, but I'll tell you one thing you can do is be faithful. Be faithful. You can be faithful, serve God, and be in your place and be reliable and be right where you need to be. You can be faithful to the Lord God Almighty. I came to Lighthouse Baptist Church in the summer of 1993. Can I tell you tonight that every single teacher, junior church teacher, bus captain, youth teacher, and college class teacher are still faithfully serving the Lord today? Every teacher I've had, anybody that's impacted my life, Sunday school, junior church, doesn't matter, from the time I came in here as a fifth grader all the way through the college class, every single one of those teachers are still faithfully serving the Lord today. That's awesome. That's a praise to God Almighty. You know what's even better? What's even a bigger blessing to me is now some of those same people are ministering to my children. That my daughter Natalie, her junior church teacher, was my junior high Sunday school teacher. That my son Brady, one of his Awana leaders, was my junior church teacher. That my daughter Abby is in Mrs. Tidd's class, the very first class I was a part of back then. She had boys and girls, don't judge. But not only that, she's working on a bus with my bus captain as her bus captain. That's awesome to think that the faithfulness is there. And listen, I say tonight, you may not be able to do a lot of things, but I know that you can be faithful. I know that you can be faithful. Be memorable by being faithful, considering the end of their conversation. As I said, the teachers I had in school that I don't remember much about weren't really bad teachers. They just weren't memorable. And we don't want to be average ministers or parents, servants or teachers. I hope by God's grace and God's word, the encouragement here, that you want to be memorable. Not for your own honor and glory, but for God's, for His. We want to be memorable for the right reasons. Be memorable by emphasizing the word of God. Make it a priority in your life, in your family, in your ministry. Be memorable by having a faith worth following. Walk with God. Be genuine. Be real. And be memorable by being faithful to the end. If you can't do anything else, you can be faithful. I want to ask you that question tonight. Are you memorable? I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. I appreciate your listening tonight. This is the message I know that God had for us. Something He laid upon my own heart. And thinking about the Awana ministry and just the overall ministry of the church and what it's all about. But I don't think it's something outside of the realm of possibility with God's help and God's grace that we could do these things. We could focus on God's word. That we have a faith worth following. And that we can be faithful to the end. You want to be memorable and for the right reasons? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 reveals that tonight. Father, we thank You so much for Your word, and we thank You for the opportunity to again gather tonight and to open it up and study it. And Lord, I pray that You would challenge our hearts to be faithful, Lord, that You would challenge us to focus upon Your word, that You would challenge us, Lord, to have a faith worth following. God, I pray that You bless now in the invitation that we're about to give. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would continue to work in hearts of those that need to come forward and make a decision, maybe just fall on their face and thank You, God, for those that they can remember in their lives, Lord, that had this kind of an impact, or Lord, maybe a challenge or commitment to have that same kind of impact on those that you've called them to have the rule over. Lord, I pray now that you bless in this invitation. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name.